It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What is going on here?
Stop!
Talk about Cal Miami.
Stop
He almost blew a hole in his Gucci's.
Don't be taking shots at my guy FP.
I love FP.
Don't be taking shots at my guy FP.
I have a big mouth sometimes.
No, I'm not. Don't be. Where's my? You're my shower, Bonte. Don't leave FP alone.
You're my shower, Bonte. What?
Yeah, you hear that?
You're my shower, Bonte.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's stupid. Don't say that again.
All right, let's not.
That is not suitable for work. Let's
just, we're talking Cal Miami, man. You derailed the show, Shasky. I'm blaming you. Dave Fleming joins us on River Islands. No, Flim, I will not. Dave Fleming joins us on the River Islands guest line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Let's bring in our guy, man, who's been with us all season long. What is this, year 4 with Fleming on the roast? And I don't know how he's made it this long. I don't know how he's lasted this long with the two of us, Shasky, but we definitely thank him for that. And look, man, he's on it. He's on it when it comes to the Giants. He's on it when it comes to college football. And obviously we have big news here with the Giants as Buster Posey yesterday was introduced as the president of baseball operations. And Flim, good morning. Welcome back to the show, man. And again, we thank you for everything you've done this season, but we'll do that at the end of the interview. But boy, it just felt refreshing yesterday. And it felt like the vibe was just good. With Buster Posey now being a front man, now he's going to get a lot of help and hire a GM or whatnot. But boy, it just feels right, and it feels like it's going to work with Buster, Dave.
I think it'll work. I do. Good morning. It's not it's not a magic bullet. It's not Buster shows up and everything turns to gold. That's not how it works. You got to put the work in. You got to, get turned around what hasn't been working for the Giants, but I'm with you. I mean, yesterday was an optimistic day for the Giants, and just because I know Buster so well, this is not an ego thing. This is not a money thing. This is not a former player who's bored and needs something to do. This is a guy who cares deeply about the franchise and really believes that he can help get the Giants back to where they need to be. And he's smart. He's determined. Buster is highly competitive. And, actually, in a way, I think Buster is going to be a pretty tough boss for a lot of people over there. Like, Buster is, he does not sugarcoat things. He tells people what they need to hear, not what they want to hear. He did that as a player. I'm sure he's going to do that as an executive. I think you heard a lot from him yesterday about empowering people. He will definitely do that. He doesn't want to take credit. He doesn't have a big ego when it comes to that kind of stuff. But he does for sure have a demanding personality. And he expects people to do their job and do it well. And so that's going to be, it'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out after everything. You know, they got a lot of work to do over there to sort of figure out how the structure is going to be. But Buster is not, and I think you got a sense of that edginess yesterday. And I mean as a compliment. He's not, you know, this isn't some chuckle fest where he's coming in to you know, laugh and hang with some old pals and get the band back together and drink some beers. This guy is here to make a big change in this organization.
Well, Shasky, I want you to get in here, but you're spot on. Buster did not handle losing well as a player. I remember being in the locker room, he's short on every answer. He did not like losing. So I'm with you on that one, man. He's not going to take a lot of stuff, man. He wants to win because that's all he's done over the course of his career and, of course, his college days at Florida State. He's a winner.
Yeah, and he doesn't tolerate, he really doesn't tolerate frivolousness. You know, he does not tolerate people who aren't taking things as seriously as he does. And he doesn't tolerate people who aren't for the team, like we're doing this for the right reasons. So, you know, I think, I'm not saying that that has plagued the Giants. I don't think that, but I think that the best organizations have that sort of as their overall culture, where everybody who's here is working for the same goal and we don't care who gets the credit and we're all in this together. It's going to be a collaborative thing. But the expectation is if you're here working with us, we're putting everything we have into this at all levels. And I think that's another thing you heard from Buster yesterday about, you know, not just empowering the GM or, you know, a couple other people, everybody from the trainers, from the analysts, the minor league coaches, everybody's got to feel like they are invested in it and that the success of the big league team is because of the work that they're putting in.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. Like I'm trying to just like diagnose, like, man, what the heck has happened the last couple of years, you know? And my dad taught me baseball is very simple. Okay. And my belief is like the fundamentals are the fundamentals for a reason. And pitching and playing catch on defense are, and putting the ball in play, right? And putting the ball in play are the most simple things to say. But I felt like the last couple of years, they've really struggled at that. Like defense up the middle has been a problem. Obviously, middle infield. Holding runners on has been a problem. Not enough arms to throw strikes has been a problem. Not being able to take an extra base has been a problem. You know, strikeouts have been a huge problem. And when I hear Buster Posey talk about, like, I'm dedicated to the fundamentals, like, we're going to pitch and we're going to play catch. Like, it's like saying blocking and tackling in football. But it's so true, Dave, and I feel like they've gotten away from it. And we could talk about what this guy, how many home runs this guy hits and all this. And but, like, the fundamentals of the game, again, I go holding runners on, throwing strikes, you know, playing catch in the field. They've really gotten away from that. And I really believe, like, if they could just hone in on the fundamentals, everything changes. I sound so dumb and so basic, but that's just my belief.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I mean, I think sometimes the cliches are cliches for a reason because they're true. And in football, it is true that if you can tackle, you're a good defense. Like, you know, I was with Utah last week and Kyle Whittingham said something that was so obvious, but it's like, you know, you can measure speed and skill. He said tackling is the number one skill on defense. If you can tackle, you have a good defender. And in baseball, that there are some truisms that are like that. And you're watching playoff baseball yesterday. If you watched the Mets play, if you watched, you know, some of the big situational at-bats that the Padres had, that the Royals had, what were the winning plays in those playoff games? They were often just hit a ground ball to the right side, hit a fly ball. You know, sometimes we overcomplicate this sport. Now, I don't want to make it out like I think that's all that's going on. And I also think that a big part of what that means is that has to start down below the big league level. And I think, you know, probably the number one task for the Giants is player development.
Totally agree.
And they have to have a long, hard, honest discussion with themselves about why player development has not improved, why the Giants are having such a hard time on the position player side, especially producing quality major league players, and why so many of the position players we see come up don't seem to have those fundamentals already in place. And, you know, it blocks your path. We saw it with Marco Luciano is a great example of this. Like, he lost his chance to be a part of this year's big league team in the span of about four games. When you erode your credibility, when you can't field a ground ball in a pressure situation, there is no place for you on the big league roster, period. If you can't do that basic thing, then you can't access all the other skills that you have. And man, the Giants have to ask some tough questions about what has happened in the player development pipeline that has allowed that to take place over these last few years. Pitching development has been overall, I would say, good, not great, but good. And position player development has fallen far short. And part of that is what you're talking about. Just the basic issues to be a baseline big league player that haven't been fulfilled by too many of these young guys.
I completely agree. And I think we've overemphasized free agency because of the lack of young players coming through the system. And I think we put way too much stock into landing a free agent and all that stuff. Like, those are great for supplementary. I look at the great teams for the Giants. I think their best team was the 2012 team of the recent champions. And the whole infield was homegrown, you know? And then the whole pitching staff essentially was homegrown. And then you can pick and choose an Angel Pagan to trade for and a Hunter Pence to go trade for and to add when you have depth in the farm system to be able to move people. And so I think you're spot on there. The cupboard isn't completely bare. It's not as good as I would want. Like, they've got an outfielder in Elliot Ramos. I feel like they've got a third baseman for the next 5 years minimum or 6 years in Matt Chapman. I still am holding out hope on Bailey. So you got a catcher there. But to me, like, number one need for this offseason, Dave, and I would love your thought, it's shortstop. I want to see Tyler move maybe to second. I think they need an everyday shortstop. I think it would solve a lot of their problems.
I think a high-level defensive shortstop is definitely a priority for this team. And I think it's fair to ask whether Tyler can be that guy. I'm not sure I have the right answer on that one. I really trust in Tyler Fitzgerald's athletic ability. I think he is a big league caliber athlete. I do think that's a big question for this team, that spot. But I would say just big picture for the Giants, whether that's this offseason or what, they need impact in the middle of the order. They need a high-level offensive player. And so they need to be a better defensive team. That's true. And they need to lean into their ballpark and their pitching and the strength of this, what this franchise has been over the last 15 years. And so that's true. But I'm looking around the playoffs. And right now, every single team in the playoffs has one or two or three of those anchor offensive players. And I really truly believe this sport has changed fundamentally in the last few years. The technology of the sport, the high speed cameras, the way we measure things has made developing pitching easier. Now, I don't want to say it's easy. I don't want to say pitching is easy. That's not true. But it has made it a lot easier to make tweaks to your young pitchers, to give them more weapons, to fine tune and emphasize the good things that they do and to make sure that they're maximizing their abilities. The technology is not helping hitters in that same way. It's not. It's helping in some ways, but it's not helping in the, so what wins out now on the hitting side? Just pure talent, pure great talent wins out on the hitting side, and other hitters are really struggling to keep up. And there's no magic bullet for hitters. And so I do believe that that is a massive issue for the Giants. And we all have our fingers crossed. Bryce Eldridge looks like the kind of guy who can be that high level impact offensive player, but you probably need more than one. And Matt Chapman's close. You know, I put Matt Chapman close to that category. But, you know, Matt Chapman's value is so much tied up in the all-around game that he has. And I love Matt Chapman. But I think, you know, one more middle-of-the-order type hitter is really what the Giants need badly. And I don't know how they get that. I don't know whether that's a trade. I don't know whether that's a free agent signing. I don't know if they need to develop another guy aside from Eldridge. Hopefully Bryce becomes one of those over the next few years. We'll see.
No, you're spot on. We've been clamoring for that for a while here, just getting some thump in the middle of the order. Makes everybody more comfortable and getting a little more speed here as we're talking to Dave Fleming on the River Islands guest line. Back to Farhan for just a second, because we got all offseason to talk Posey and what he's going to do, who he's going to hire as a GM. Where do you think it started to go wrong for Farhan? Was it when he hired Gabe Kapler? Was it after 107? Was it when they flamed out in 2022? When do you think the tide started to turn for Farhan's heading? Things just kind of got off the tracks here, Flem.
Yeah, I don't know. I think when if you give us a couple of years to look back on it, maybe that'll be a little more clear. Mm-hmm. I think for sure that not capitalizing on the 107 win season or not catapulting from that was a definite pivot point for Farhan. And when you look back at the decision that came after that season, I mean, frankly, the decision to let Gausman go and to re-sign Anthony DeSclafani is, borderline catastrophic. That really, really, really hurt the Giants. It hurt them in the clubhouse with their credibility, and it hurt them just on the field with the wins and the losses. And it wasn't just that decision. I mean, I think all of us probably knew that 107 was the absolute max that roster could have produced, and there was going to be some fallback. But they did not, and I'm not saying that it was anybody's fault necessarily.
Right.
I'm not saying that Farhan made a ton of bad decisions there. One really bad decision, I think, clearly. But you got to capitalize on that more than they did,
yep.
It was very discouraging for everybody to immediately after that year go right back to the same, sort of middle of the road, semi contending, mostly out of it, clearly not an elite team. Like when you have a special year like that, you want to snowball that into a year and 2 and 5 years of championship contention. And they just couldn't pull that off.
You know, it's interesting you bring that up because Sam and I were talking about this yesterday, and I just, my philosophy in life, if I'm going to go down, I want to go down swinging, and I guess it feels like my interpretation of the entire Farhan era was like, oh, risk averse to this move. I can't trade for that guy. And I don't want to give out that sixth year or that fifth year. We don't want to get hamstrung. And I just feel like he's going to look back at it and be like, I just never really swung any bold moves. What was the most bold move in your mind that they did in the last 6 years?
Bold move. Yeah, there weren't a lot of them, were there?
No.
There weren't a lot of headline moves. There really weren't.
Risky.
I think this last offseason, the signing of those guys, now it came late and it came at a weird price and contract structure because of all that was going on around big league baseball. That was bold. I mean, it was bold to sort of in the last few weeks in the lead up to the regular season and in some cases the last week to push all your chips in the way that the Giants did. I think that was bold. So that's probably the answer. But yeah, in 6 years, that's not a lot of risk taking. So I think that's a fair criticism. And I do think that the Matt Chapman contract thing was a little bit of insight into that. Like all this reporting that's come out about how that went down sort of fits into what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. No, you're spot on. I think of the Warriors and I think of the Niners, and they made a lot of bold moves, risk-averse moves there. And it's kind of sad how it ended there with Farhan Zaidi, but there's new hope with the Giants. And there's new hope at Cal Berkeley, where you'll be on the call this Saturday. Flem, Cal, Miami, the whole band's gone. I think Spadoni, he may sit this one out, but Lovin, he's a Hurricane. He went to Miami. Shasky's leaving the house.
Yeah.
Believe this, Dave Fleming. Yep. Joe Shasky's crossing the Bay Bridge to go to a football game or to anything. He's gone.
I go North Bay. Right. I just don't really go to the East Bay that often.
All right, I'm admitting.
I'm going to be there.
All right. But we'll all be there for Cal, Miami. Game day is going to be there. You're going to be on the call. Are the Miami Hurricanes on upset alert, Flynn?
They should be. Cal can beat them. It's the biggest college football game Cal's had in a while, which is fun. It's going to be a great scene. I hope it's a sellout. Miami's really good. They have a lot of talented players, but Cal can turn the ball over. Like, they have a defense that can turn the ball over, and that's their avenue, I think, to winning this game. If it's just a straight-up game, not many mistakes, Miami's going to beat them. Cal's offensive line has not been very good, and Miami's defensive line is very good. Maybe not Warren Sapp days good, but really good. So to me, Cal's got to find a way to hold up on the offensive line. Don't get Fernando Mendoza snapped in half and generate a couple turnovers. Cam Ward is a great, great player, but he can be a little loose with the ball. If you can do those things, you got a chance to win.
Dave, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask this one. I'm never going to take playoffs for granted ever again. I'm watching the San Diego Padres atmosphere last night, and I was so jealous. I was so jealous. I was longing for those Oracle back AT&T Park days where the camera would come flying in and everyone's waving the towels and we're going crazy. And I just, there was no other feeling like playoff baseball starting at 5, 6, 6:30 at night and just in the bay. I don't know, man. I miss it so much. Like, that atmosphere down in San Diego, I'm just so jealous. I guess there's not even a question. I'm just jealous of what they got going down there. I'm sorry.
You should be. And they've done it. They've done it brilliantly. They have. Like, they've made a lot of mistakes along the way. They did. But look at what they've found their way to. I mean, and their payroll this year was what? $60 million shy of the Giants.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so they signed all these crazy deals, give away all these contracts that everybody's calling them crazy for. But because they're willing to maneuver and make moves and cover mistakes and pivot quickly, they've got a star-studded roster, even with, you know, not everything working out. Juan Soto didn't work out for them. A bunch of other things didn't work out for them. And yet, here we are. So they deserve a lot of credit. It's a fun team. It's a great atmosphere. That's what we're looking for here. I think that's what everybody wants here.
Flem, always a pleasure. I know this is our last weekly with you for the season. Hopefully we do it again next season. And
Call in whenever you want.
Yeah, whenever you want. You want to come to studio, hang out with us, you can do that as well. But Flem, we always thank you for the laughs, for the great insight. You've been great to us for, what, 4 years now here on The Morning Roast, and we always look forward to this interview. And we do talk highly of you, not just Mike Florio, you too. So we thank you again, Flip.
That's my favorite moment of the year. Yeah. Oh, boy. Well, yeah. What a guy.
You're nominated for maybe being the guest of the year here for our Doobie Awards in December. Don't ask what the Doobie Awards are. We won't explain. You don't want to know. But you are up for an award, Flynn. So hopefully you win one this year.
Oh, Florio can't win. That's all I know.
I'm with you.
Give me a surprise of the year, whatever that was. It could be the Vikings quarterback situation. Stop. You know, come on, man. You got to do better than that.
Hey, Flem, would you trade Brandon Ayuk straight up for Devontae Adams?
I would not. I would not.
Wow, shocker.
Wow.
Shocker.
I would not. Shocker. No, I mean, I like Devontae Adams, but Brandon Ayuk is going to be fine. He just sat out an off season. He needs time. Like, he's not there yet. And so I have confidence that Brandon Ayuk's going to be A-okay. And I'll take the guy who's 7 years younger or whatever he is. I think Ayuk's a great fit for the Niners. He and Purdy obviously have a great chemistry when things are going well. So I'm happy with Ayuk.
That's why Dave Fleming is a professional. And we're just some fanboys on the radio. Flip, always, if we can, I don't know if you're going to be on the field on the Saturday at Cal, but we love to come by and say hi to you. And thank you again for everything you do for us on the show.
You're welcome. I get lots of people tell me they listen to these segments weekly. So really? I get lots of feedback on our conversations, which is cool. I love talking to you two guys, and come see me in Berkeley.
Hell yeah.
Absolutely. I'm surprised.
Never thought I'd say that.
Hey, listen, I'm surprised the Giants allow you to come on the show every week the way we talk about that baseball team. But you're good to us, man. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it.
You're the best.
See you guys.
All right, I love Flip, man. Oh, man, Flip is awesome. He's been awesome to us, man, and it's been really a good relationship with him, and he's always been good over the years. I don't know if I ever told you the story, and I'm away for him to be off the air because I may owe some money for this.
Story time?
Story might be story time, but
it's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.